1 is the status quo. The 8th point is that Cuba has been forced into sustainable agriculture by the collapse of the Soviet Union and now struggles in its profits because of the embargo. If it makes it, it will be the only example of a successful transition from market sustainability in the world. We must take it through the transition. Carbon 98. The survival of whole nations that are socialist in the global economy depends on similar principles. They will survive to the extent that they can become self-sufficient economically. Their long-term survival will also depend on the sustainable use of the resources. Cuba never intended to become self-sufficient economy. Its economy was long tied to that of the Soviet Union. It supported oil, fertilizers, pesticides, more than half the food in industrial equipment and supplies. When the Soviet Union broke up, the problems with such interdependence became apparent because of Cuba's interdependence with the Soviet Union. It could not meet its own basic needs without this training. It has been forced to move towards a much more self-sufficient economy. Its continued political independence depends on the success of making this difficult move. The question is whether Cuba can learn quickly to produce food organically and with human and animal labor. Fortunately, Cuban agronomists had done a great deal of research on alternative farming before the crisis, which has enabled Cuba to make a relatively rapid progress. If Cuba succeeds in making this transition, then feeding its people out organically and sustainably will mark the first change of the successful transition from unsustainable monoculture to sustainable agriculture. The B subpoint is that Cubans are being denied access and exchange programs by the U.S. for fear that these people would make Cuba look too good. Rattle out in 98. Cubans were denied visas because they were authorities in the field and their academic excellence would cast favor of light on Cuba's market system, weighing Cuba's current administration of imposing censorship and inhibiting free exchange of ideas. C subpoint is that Cubans reject bipolar mentality that forces a choice between communism and democracy. The only thing the embargo achieves is to strengthen hardliners and prevent the kind of socialism that the people support students in 95. Clinton seems to be forcing us to choose between the current dictatorship and supporters of the old dictatorship. But we want freedom. We want a true socialism where we can run things for us. We don't want communism or capitalism. There is a consensus among the Cuban dissidents in Cuba that the U.S. embargo strengthens hardliners in the government and deters reform. The Cuban government has used the embargo to blame the U.S. for all of the country's economic ills, thereby avoiding the economic restructuring. The D subpoint. The best way to help Cuba develop a sustainable agricultural model would be for the United States to lift the embargo. By set in 94. We call upon the international community to support the efforts of Cuban farmers, scientists, and leaders to make our culture in a more independent and sustainable fashion, to pay close attention to the lessons we may learn from both successes and failures in Cuba. One key element of such support is to pressure steadily for lifting of the U.S. trade embargo that is causing such suffering among Cuban people. Hence, Sarah and I offer the following plan. The United States federal government will immediately lift all or nearly all economic sanctions on the government of Cuba and institute a constructive engagement policy that will initiate a joint sustainable development research effort between the U.S. Department of Agriculture and the Cuban Agricultural Ministry. Funding enforcement to normal needs. A further cease and cross examination will clarify and any questions just ask. Observation 2 is a successful Cuban program that offers the only hope for a global move to sustainability. We solved. The eighth point is that we must lift the embargo for there to be any hope that we can learn about the environmental sustainability from Cuba. Students in 95. The real purpose of the travel ban appears to be to prevent Americans from being able to learn about Cuba firsthand. That so Clinton has thus far been able to destroy Cuban revolution through the embargo. He has been able to prevent most Americans from being exposed to anything other than its negative aspects and only by allowing Americans the freedom to travel and lifting the embargo against Cuba that both people from both countries can learn from each other and about the successes and freedom, justice, economic development, and environmental protection. The beast point is that without help from research, sustainable agriculture will not emerge Youngberg in 93. Despite the logic of sustainable agriculture, there are inherent conflicts in the concept itself. We have to understand that what the conflicts may be, what trade-offs may be required in the quest of sustainability, and how they should be addressed in the policy process. We must begin now to replace the symbolism of sustainable agriculture with scientific facts, and we are to encourage the development of public policies to foster sustainability. Without help from science, the sustainable move could suddenly be chasing a mirage. The beast point is that public research must be refocused on developing sustainability in the U.S. and abroad. Joel in 91. The structure of the U.S. university system is designed to protect the rights of scientists to pursue the areas of research they believe are most needed. The tenure system should allow the agricultural scientists to do the right thing and work for them on the truly difficult problems that face the research for farmers in developing countries. Should strive for some balance in the U.S. agricultural research system. Public funds should be allocated to work on the problems of the smaller resource poor farmers, both within the U.S. and the third world. We need a greater division of the labor and responsibility. The wealthy farmers will have the technology to develop foreign, but more pressing and difficult problems exist among the world's resource poor farmers. Scientists supported the public sector and they melted. Bilateral and bilateral agencies must recognize that their responsibility is to put moral, ethical, and social justice issues at the top of their agenda. The deep point is that there is much to learn from the Cuban agricultural model, Murphy in 97. We have much to learn from the Cuban promise of agricultural conversion from a steadfast commitment to see food as a basic human right, the belief that food is a human right, the commitment to working together to feed all people, and the strides being made towards ecological food production are important goals and great inspiration to us all. The ESF point is that foreign investment will not hobble Cuban sustainable development because Cuban foresees sustainability as inevitable necessity for all nations. 95. It is not unreasonable to ascertain the Cuban great progress in environmental preservation. information is made possible in part by the absence of pressure from private corporations. However, the Cubans believe that many of these changes are here to stay, even if the availability of fossil fuels and chemical agents improve. Indeed, sooner or later, all countries may have to make such a transition to a more environmental and sustainable economy. To extra point, he claims that Cuban agricultural system has enormous potential to be a model for other nations suffering from problems with the toxic model of agriculture. Was set in 94. The experience in agricultural alternatives currently underway in Cuba is unprecedented, with potentially enormous implications for other countries suffering from the declining sustainability of conventional agricultural production. The rate that point is that the U.S. embargo sets other nations modeling Cuban sustainable development. COVID-98. The Cuban is the only revolution in Latin America. The United States will likely continue for such a long time through direct intervention or through the doors in the United States. May continue to prevent other nations from following the Cuban model, even if it continues to succeed. The next is that fiction stops the transition. COVID-98. Cuba is being forced to make this transition under enormous fossil pressure from the United States, which is doing all it can to make the transition difficult and to encourage opposition to the government within Cuba. The Cuban people may decide they prefer to serve the United States. The hunger war has been learned unequivocally to accept political independence, and it's possible only if there's a basic economic independence as well. Advantage is that current agricultural practices ensure inevitable starvation and conflict. Only sustainable practices can solve. The eighth point is that current agricultural practices ensure loss of genetic diversity and catastrophe. Rainbow 95. That results for gene pool is shrinking. No one can confidently predict what America's food supply is on the verge of collapse. What is certain, however, is that if the depletion of the crop of gene pool continues, America's and the world's agriculture must ultimately suffer catastrophic losses. The consequences are staggering. Most of the estimated 200 million people would have starved to death in 1968 were children in demand of food in the next century. Really could make the situation unimaginably worse, even without catastrophic agricultural collapse. The beast point is that food security is necessary to avoid political turmoil and war. Barrier 95. The economic food production have an inescapable political implications. The close foreign command exist between political stability and food security. The lack of access to affordable food and its variable results in domestic political turmoil and can lead to international conflict. The C-step point is that sustainable development is the only effective way to deal with hunger. Was that 99? The goal of ending hunger is attainable. Research shows that family farm agriculture based on principles of equity and ecological sustainability is actually much more productive than corporate farming. Meat only back to increasing production to meet food future food needs, which can end hunger. Is a devised food system in which those who work can have a greater state and reap greater rewards. The C-step point is that expansive sustainable development system is crucial to prevent extinction. Allen in 93. Agriculture is essential to human well-being because it is fundamental to environmental issues and because it is in crisis. Food production and distribution are the cornerstones of human subsistence. Unless we develop a stable food and agriculture system, life itself is at risk. Resources are depleted, toxins enter the food chain, and people go hungry and starve. Such enormous ecological and social problems of agriculture, problems require immediate concerted efforts towards transformation to a new form of agriculture, one that ensures our ability to provide ourselves with food now and into the future. The key point is that although risky, Cuba's agricultural system can be a model for the rest of the world. Russ at 94. While this is a calculated risk and possibly a life and death gamble for the Cuban people, it is also a critically important experience for the rest of the world. Whether we are citizens of the United States, Mexico, Germany, Thailand, we must all confront the declining productivity and environmental destructiveness of what passes for modern agriculture.
Okay, cool. Awesome. All right, so what specific stages do you list?
All economic stages.
So just economic stages.
Yeah.
Okay, so post panel, like all the military, dual use, all that fills around?
I believe that they are included in the economic sanctions.
Okay. So
you
that.
You don't believe that they're included in the economic sanctions.
I do.
Okay.
So military sanctions, dual use, are all included in economic sanctions?
Yeah, I think that they're an extension of what an economic sanction is.
Oh, okay. All right. So post your plan, you list all economic sanctions, right? And you allow like free trade to occur in Cuba?
It depends on what you mean by we allow free trade to occur.
Okay, well, if you list economic sanctions,
we allow free trade, like,
okay,
I would have a couple problems
with
that.
Covenant, correct?
Our deeds evidence indicates that they won't let certain businesses in, they'll only let businesses in that will promote their sustainability.
Only businesses, so you put a regulation on what businesses can go. So you list sanctions and you provide a regulation.
What was your question?
You just said that you put a regulation that only businesses who like work with sustainable agriculture.
No, that's not the regulation. No. Our argument is that the Cuban people won't let other like multinational corporations that will come in and reap their land and their homes,
okay,
and whatever.
Okay, so the Cuban people are going to like.
And our advocacy is that that should not happen post the plan.
Okay, so it should not happen, and the Cuban people are the people who are going to decide which businesses come in, correct?
Well,
that is your advocacy. Okay, that's cool. So what's your conception of constructive engagement?
Well, constructive engagement through doing joint sustainable development.
Joint sustainable development, but that just involves listing economic sanctions?
No. We will engage in research and joint, like, research.
Okay, so the United States goes down to those researchers in Cuba.
We learn from them.
Okay, that's cool. Oh, we learn from that. So, like, we, that can't happen now?
No, because of the embargo.
The purpose is for us to learn from them.
Okay, and we need to do that for, like, globalization of sustainable agriculture?
Yes.
Okay. And specifically, okay, so how does this actually, like, working with this work? Like, we send down American scientists, or what's, like, the actual policy here?
The United States Department of Agriculture will engage joint research efforts with the Cuban Ministry of Agriculture.
Okay, so these are, like, state actors that we're working for?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. They are. They're state actors.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, like, we'll defend that. We'll make that.
Okay, you'll defend the state actors. Okay.
Well, I mean, we won't necessarily defend the idea of that, but we'll have
we'll defend it, that you are.
If you want to engage in that debate, we will engage in that debate. Yes.
Okay.
In American straight debate.
Why would you think we say anything about
that?
Time. It'll be a 2-off, and then the case. We'll be in the order.
That's a whole negative strategy.
Two off in case in order, Mike?
Yeah.
Yeah.
First off case, the critique of feminist international relations. The affirmative operates under a flawed conception of international relations. That is, they take the field as constructed on faith, offering state-centric solutions. It fails to consider that there are other root causes of insecurity which must be addressed. Feminist perspectives offer us with the requisite tool of the eighth point, the status of international relations. First, gender has been excluded from international relations. The affirmative discourse as outlined by the 1AC ignores this and only further perpetuates the idea that gender is necessarily irrelevant. Seen in 1998, gender has been denied salience as an issue because the discipline has been seen as constituted by a system of states which relates to one another in a context of anarchy. With respect to gender, IR theory grounded in realist assumptions have either been seen as neutral or assumptions about the position and status of women have not been made explicit. However, international relations is a gender discourse. The invisibility or marginalization of gender issues is a consequence of methodological individualism, which begins with a high level of abstraction, taking the state to be the key actor. The realist conception of the state has been built upon the supposedly unproblematic figure of sovereign man. These concepts employed by realism make necessary the exclusion of women. Indeed, the whole theoretical approach rests on the foundation of political conflicts, which it would be difficult to hold together coherently were not for the trick of eliminating women. Second, even assuming the affirmative is a step away, they continue to take international relations field as given. This only co-opts feminist voices and continues to mask the problem. Grant and Newland, 1991. The process of degrading gender issues of international relations agenda is not easy, in part because the discipline has adopted epistemological stances based on history and on a positivist conception of social science. From the start, international relations has had difficulty drawing the connections between individual citizens and the state system. The focus on events and behavior has not been conducive to feminist thought because the role of women has long been muffled. At the same time, the competing influences of realism, idealism, Marxism, behaviorism, and so forth have had one particular effect in common. These concepts which helped define the discipline also gave the appearance of transcending gender issues. This gave international relations the aura of a discipline moving in those progressive directions, albeit from a narrow starting point. Third, the affirmative solvency is premised on notions of economic liberalism. That is, they assume that free flow of trade and ideas is both rational and beneficial. This ignores, however, that economic liberalism is in and of itself gendered. Tickner in 1992. Feminist critiques of liberalism should begin with the examination of rational economic men, a contrast of wealth, it extrapolates from the roles and behaviors associated with certain Western men and assumes characteristics that correspond to the definition of hegemonic masculinity has been used by liberal economists to represent the behavior of humanity as a whole. Its claim to universality across time and culture must therefore be questioned. The highly individualistic, competitive market behavior of rational economic men could not necessarily be assumed as the norm if women's experiences or the experiences of individuals in non-capitalist societies were taken as a prototype for human behavior. Women in the reproductive and maternal world do not conform to behavior or instrumental rational. Much of women's work and provision of basic needs takes place outside the market and household or in the subsistence sector of third world economies. Moreover, when women enter the market economy, they are disproportionately represented in the caring professions. Vocations are more likely to be chosen on the basis of the values and expectations that are often emphasized in female social socialization, rather it's centered on the basis of profit maximization. These behaviors offer models based on different understanding of the meaning of rationality. Fourth, the affirmative proposes that we constructively engage Kiba. Not only does this take for granted that the state is the key actor, but it is premised on notions of dominance. Constructive engagement is a policy of carrots, but it is also a policy of sticks. Vodanovich, 1998. Constructive engagement has usually combined the carrot and stick inducements to change the form of trade concessions. One and other incentives have been accompanied by clearly defined and limited negative conditions. These have included arms embargo or limiting aid funds to NGO projects rather than government programs. Fifth, the affirmative advocates a joint research and sustainable development. This presupposes that the United States is crucial, and the United States necessarily knows more. Not only is this premise on notions of domination, but it ignores Cuba's attempts to establish indigenous models of agriculture within the current framework. Sixth, and finally, highlighting the problem is insufficient. They only would victimize the problem, and they fail to recognize that women and others can be agents of change. Tickner, 1992. In international relations, devalued femininity is bound with myths about women as victims in need of protection. The protector protected myth contributes to the legitimization of a militarized version of citizenship that results in unequal gender relations that can participate in violence against women. Certain feminists have called for construction of an enriched version of citizenship that would depend less on military violence and more on equal recognition of women's contribution to society. Such a notion of citizenship cannot come about, however, until myths that perpetuate views of women's victims rather than agents of change are eliminated. B subpoint. This threatens our very survival. The failure of international relations to recognize the importance of gender threatens our survival as three issues continue to be ignored and unabated. Tickner in 1992. Events of the 80s and 90s brought to light many of the shortcomings and real explanations of the conflict second half would take place inside or across the boundaries of weak states. Many of these conflicts have not been fought to protect international boundaries, but over ethnic or religious issues or issues of national identity and national liberation. These to be addressed to security demand new solutions, pointed off the power politics prescriptions of the traditional international relations theory. We and the West can no longer afford to parallel the tradition of scholarship that focuses on concerns and ambitions of the great powers. Really, prescriptions to help our inappropriate environmental degradation for insurgent and poor alike and appears in stringent to state-centered solutions. The discipline of IRR is increasingly challenged by the necessity of analyzing realities, economic, ecological interdependence, and finding ways of mitigating their negative consequences. We must face the reality of how easily the water security issues are the survival of the Earth and all its inhabitants disappear from the agenda when the military crisis escalates. See, subpoint the implications. First, this is the first issue to consider. The critique undermines the entire foundation upon which the affirmative is built, a failure by the affirmative to spend their assumptions, i.e., that the manner in which they view the world and solve is correct, justifies a negative ballot. Two, it's an absolute policy takeout and a turn. Failing to ask the right questions means we lock ourselves into a vicious cycle of insecurity. Feminist international relations suggest that the world is as is because we've constructed it that way. The only solution is to deconstruct, recognizing the hidden gender hierarchies that exist, and rebuild from there. Tickner again. Feminist theories must go beyond injecting women's experiences into different disciplines and attempt to challenge the core concepts of the discipline themselves. Concepts central to international relations theory and practice have been framed in terms of associated masculinity. Drawing on feminist theories to examine and critique the meaning of these other concepts, fundamental international politics can help us to reformulate these concepts in ways that might allow us to see new possibilities for solving our current insecurities. Third, advocacy and discourse are the only real-world impacts. We all recognize that no plan actually gets passed. As such, the only real-world effect is that which the discourse has upon us and everyone in this round. Failing to engage in this debate results in our believing on faith statement of the author. We fail to question the assumptions, thereby only redefining the system. A vote negative, however, encourages discussion and forces us as advocates to truly justify our arguments. Hajir in 1995. Discourse is reproduced in a sequence of speech actions, rules, distinctions, legitimate modes of expression only have made the sense that they were taken up in positive rules and conventions that constitute social order have to be constantly reproduced and reformed actual speech situations when in documents or debates. Consequently, the power structure society can and should be studied to reflect their discourse. Finally, it's most educational. We encourage debaters to look at arguments on another level, i.e., the foundations upon which much of our current argumentation rests. On faith is an intellectual endeavor worth pursuing. Also recognize the ballot as not which plan is better, but which team has done the better debating. The next case, multilateral agreement on investment. First, an explanation. This is simply an example of the fallacy of the affirmative and the notion that we should continue with liberal economic policies. To the A subpoint, U.S. Economic Sanctions Act as a barrier to the passage of the MAA. The affirmative plan facilitates its passage there in 1998. The EU has made it clear that will not agree to the MAI. Negotiations are successfully concluded. The process strongly hopes the U.S. and the EU reach agreements to the MAI will be possible until the program's problems caused by the Helms-Burton and Iran-Libyan Sanctions Act will no longer disrupt transatlantic relations. The B subpoint, the MAI ensures a planetary future of war, ecological destruction, and social annihilation. Stapled in 1998, the MAI is an international investment treaty currently being negotiated. The MAI is ostensibly designed to liberalize international investment, but its powerful provisions limiting government's ability to intervene in the economy pose a serious threat to current and future measures to promote social security. The MAI will have the dual effect of threatening social programs while protecting and enhancing military spending and the arbitrary specifically. The provisions MAI could promote realize military spending to achieve social goals within the economy. Now, the case debate. Their A subpoint and observation one, again, this just exemplifies our links, their premise, and their authors is that we necessarily need to integrate Cuba within the world economy and its premise, again, on notions of economic liberalism, and their D subpoint is a further example of the link that indicates that research is necessarily key and that we can necessarily know and control nature by reducing it through reductionist logic. Now, the observation two. The bee and the seed supplement and all their evidence are further examples of how the affirmative decisions are hope in Western research and science, i.e. that we can necessarily understand complex issues by the reductionist logic and ignoring gender. This only perpetuates the problem of insecurity. It further exemplifies the link. Now, finally, their advantage. Again, this exemplifies the fallacy of problem-solution frameworks. Remember, they reduce the food crisis, etc., to simply issues of sustainable development and fail to recognize the interrelationship and the interrelationship of individuals within the state and recognize that these are all socially constructed norms and that gender is necessarily a crucial issue to consider.
Is gender the only important issue?
No, it's not the only. It's a critical issue which we need to consider. And we should begin with that.
Okay. The problem-solution framework. We set up the problem and we try to solve it. What's wrong with that?
What's wrong with that is because we just assume that we can reduce all problems to just a simple solution, i.e. the fact that, oh yes, the United States will just go in and we'll do research and we can solve all our problems with food crisis. And what happens is you ignore the complexity of the issue. For example, that these policies have an effect on individuals and that it has an effect particularly on women and other subjugated groups. And we need to recognize that complexity in order to really get the root cause of insecurity.
So we need to recognize the effects of policies on women and individuals,
no, not
like
just
the sanctions
the effects. No.
That have an enormous devastating effect to women and individuals.
That's
like
true, but the affirmative solution is, we can just solve that by going in and just promoting sustainable development.
Okay.
You don't begin with
if it's all about advocacy, then does it matter whether we solve or not?
Doesn't matter.
If it's just our advocacy that sustainable agriculture is a good thing, and we should promote it in Cuba.
My argument is that discourse and that advocacy is still premised on problem-solution framework, that you advocate that the way we can resolve this problem is just the United States goes in and promotes sustainable development, and whoops, wow, wonderful, problem solved. We say that that's a flawed framework.
That's what we say.
That's the entire construction of the first affirmative constructive. You don't explicitly recognize
okay.
gender.
Okay, on the MAI,
mm-hmm.
It's an example of fallacy of the affirmative. Why?
It's an example of the fallacy of continuing in the current assumptions of international relations and economic liberalism. The impact MAI talks about the harms to economic liberalism and free trade. For example, the fact that it cuts social programs and the fact that it ignores the impact on women and it fails to consider the issue of gender.
Okay. So, we're economically liberal promoters.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Well, okay, if you read your evidence, you talk about need to lift sanctions to promote the idea of free trade and flow
of what card in the affirmative at all says anything about free trade being good, like people getting it sucked into the global economy is good? Like, isn't it the antithesis of that idea?
No, like your ASL point talks about how Cuba is struggling and we need to help them through the transition. The evidence talks about how we need to help them integrate them into the global economy.
No, the evidence, doesn't it say that we need to, they need to be able to facilitate, continuing their sustainable agriculture so that they can stay out of the interdependent global system?
Yeah, I think that's an interpretation. Plus, I would argue that the whole premise behind the idea of lifting sanctions is so we can promote a free flow of ideas, i.e. the fact that the United States can now go over and promote our method of sustainable development and what we conceive of as the solution to the problem.
All right, the implications are threefold. The first one is that the critique should come first. Why?
Our argument is that we recognize no plan actually gets passed. The only real-world impact is our discourse and our advocacy. We argue by voting affirmative or construction, working the idea that gender is a crucial issue.
Order is...